So it's a joy to be with you all once again after a long time. I think after 8 to 9 months, God has opened a way for us to come back together. And this morning, I want to share something that I've been teaching in the training. I just want to continue with what I was doing over there. How we could be more effective in our time of prayer, the importance of speaking the word of God. So in preparation to that, I just want to share something that I shared in the training program, and I felt it was very important, because we need to understand that our walk with God begins and ends in a total dependence on Him. You and I, we cannot do anything that lasts for eternity without God. And God wants the Holy Spirit to flow in and through our lives, because we have been created to be containers of the Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not flowing in and through our lives, that means something is wrong somewhere. We are people who are so busy all the time. Right from the time we get up till we go to sleep, we have 101 things to do. There'll be so many voices telling us, you need to do this, you need to go there. And we become so busy. Only when you or I face a problem or a situation, we tell ourselves, I think I need to set aside some time for God. The rest of the time, we tend to do things on our own strength. And what happens is we end up as failures. Many of us, we are gifted, we are talented, we have so many abilities. It's good to be gifted. It's good to be someone who's talented. It's good to have abilities. But more than everything else, God is looking for people who are willing to be available for Him. The moment you tell God, yes, Lord, I want to be available to you, He will do a work in your life, and He will take you and use you to bless the lives of others. See, God wants us to meet with Him every day. It is important that we be a group of people who are meeting with Him. Only a person who meets with God can make Jesus the main focus of our lives. If Jesus is not going to be the main focus of our lives, the things of this world will become our main focus, and Jesus will be pushed to one corner of our life. Only a person who meets with God can walk in humility before God and man. Only a person who's meeting with God can live a holy life. Only when our lives are pure and holy can God fill it and use us to bless the lives of others. See, if you are a true Christian, if you are a true believer, I will tell you something. You will come across problems, You will come across suffering. You will come across persecution. You will come across opposition. But the good news is, God has got all the resources reserved for you and me, for us to live on this earth. But the important thing is, we need to find time for God. We need to find time and wait on God to receive what God has got in store for us. See, spending time with God should not be something that you're saying, okay, today is Sunday, I need to set aside time for God. Spending time with God has to become a discipline in your life and my life. Something that we carry throughout the week. See, I'm sure today morning you got up, you had a wash, you put on fresh clothes, and then you came to church. These are disciplines that you follow every day. In the same way, spending time with God has to become a discipline in our lives. Only then you can live a normal Christian life. Set aside the times when you're going to have difficulties, problems, you're going to face situations. Just imagine if Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, if he had to spend time early in the morning, if he had to spend time during the day, late in the evening, the whole night in seeking God, so that he could fulfill the mission or whatever God had entrusted to him. If Jesus Christ had to do that, you and me, as mere human beings, how much time do we need to spend with God? See, when you are waiting on God or spending time with God, the Holy Spirit will come and point out areas in your life which you need to set aside. If all those things, whether it is anger, whether it is bitterness, whether it is unforgiveness, if all those things are clogged up over there, there will be no room for the life of God to flow in and through us. Because you and I, we have been created for the life of God to flow. Can we just read a couple of verses? Can you turn to John chapter 7? I will read from verse 37 down. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, those whom who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here it says, he believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We need to understand that God created us to work from our spirit and our heart outwards. Can we read one more verse? Luke chapter 6. Can someone read verse 43 to 45? Can someone help me, please? So here also we see that God created us to work from our spirit and our heart outwards. Can we come to the Gospel of Matthew 15? Verses 18 and 19. So if our heart can be thought of as a doorway to our spirit, and if our heart is in a disordered state, we can expect nothing but turmoil to surface. So what happens is most Christians, we tend to cover up our heart. And there's no room. So if, like I told you earlier, if there's anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, the things that we read now are clogged up there, there can be no room for the Holy Spirit to flow. And because of that, many of our lives become ineffective. So when we set aside time to wait on God, the Holy Spirit will come and point out areas that you need to yield to Him, areas that you need to set aside, and then you need to ask God for forgiveness and ask Him to cleanse you so that you could come back into a fellowship, a relationship with Him, where you could see the life of God flowing in and through our lives. So I will just share a few verses. Just to show you how we could be more effective in our time of prayer. Can we come to the book of Genesis chapter 18. See, in the beginning of chapter 18, we see that Abraham was personally visited by the Lord and two angels. Here we also see God promising Abraham a son. And then He sets a date for it. So Sarah overheard this conversation and laughed in disbelief. God rebuked Abraham for his wife's unbelief. We see God challenging both Sarah and Abraham's faith. And God makes a declaration saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? After that, the two angels depart to complete a mission to Sodom. God then reveals to Abraham his intention to destroy the wicked city. And in verse 20, can someone read verse 20? Genesis chapter 18.
And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave.
Verse 21 also. Yeah. 21.
And I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I will know.
22, yeah.
Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham is still standing before the Lord.
And in verse 23 it says, and Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? So here, Abraham is asking God, God, are you going to treat the righteous and the wicked the same way? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? And in verse 25, Abraham says something that's very interesting. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? So here Abraham is asking God, are you going to destroy the righteous along with the wicked? And then he says, Lord, for the sake of the righteous, won't you spare the land? Here we see that Abraham is pleading to God for Sodom. This is one of the most compassionate, persistent prayer in all the Bible. God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Abraham says, how can you treat the righteous and the wicked the same way? It says, far be it from you, shall not the judge of the earth deal justly? Here we find that Abraham is using two words, righteous and justly. What is Abraham doing? Abraham is appealing to God's character. Abraham is saying, God, I know that you are a righteous God. And you, being a righteous God, you will not do anything that is unrighteous. Lord, I know that you are a just God. And you, being a just God, you will not do anything that is unjust. So Abraham is appealing to the character of God. And then in verse 26, so the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account. When we read down, we find that Sodom is destroyed, but Lot and his family, they have been kept. So what I'm trying to say is, if you and I, if we are to be effective in a time of prayer, we need to be people who are appealing to the character of God. Let's look at another verse. Let's come to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. Can someone read verse 1 and 2? Yeah, okay.
Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a god who will go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me."
Okay, so during Moses' 40 days meeting with God, the Israelites demand that Aaron make them a god. Aaron agreed, and using their own golden earrings formed a golden calf. So after the, can you read verse 6 now?
So next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.
Here it says the people sat down to eat, drink and rose to play. So God informed Moses of what's happening here. And then here we find that there's a very interesting conversation between God and Moses. In verse 7, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, had corrupted themselves.'" So God is telling Moses that the Israelites, they are your people, and it is you who brought them out. And in verse 8 it says, "They have quickly turned aside from the way which God commanded them, and they made for themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed it to the Lord. 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" Okay. Can you read verse 9?
"The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people.'"
Verse 10 also.
"Now then let me alone, that my anger may not burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation."
In verse 11, we find that we could see the confidence of Moses and the interesting way Moses speaks. "Then Moses entreated the Lord as God and said, 'O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out from the land of Egypt?'" So here Moses is saying, the Israelites, they are not my people. They are your people. And it is you who brought them out. It's not me who brought them out. Can you read verse 12?
"Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn your anger, burning anger, and change your mind about doing harm to your people."
So here Moses is telling God, "God, don't give room for the Egyptians to speak about you." And then he says, "God, I want you to turn from your burning anger, and I want you to change your mind about doing harm to your people." And after that, Moses says something very interesting. In verse 13, he says, "Remember Abraham, remember Isaac and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and all this land of which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they may inherit it forever." So here, Moses is doing something very important. He's telling God, "God, do you remember your servant Abraham? Do you remember Isaac? Do you remember Jacob? Do you remember the promises you gave them? You told them that you will bless them, you will multiply them like the stars of the sky. You will multiply them like the sand of the sea. You promised them that you will give them all the land, and then you will take them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Isn't it, Lord, you gave them all these promises? And now you're saying that you're going to destroy them? Lord, how can you do that? It is you who gave them all these promises." And then in verse 14 it says, "So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people." So if you and I have to be effective in our time of prayer, we need to be people who are pleading the promises of God back to him. We look at one more verse and I will close. Can you come to the book of Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2. Can someone read verse 15 to 17? Yeah. Okay, can you read verse 9?
"Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil."
See, here we find that in the Garden of Eden, God planted thousands of trees. And in the middle of these thousands of trees, he planted two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And God told man, "You can eat of all the trees in the Garden of Eden. If you want, you can also eat of the tree of life. But don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." See, we need to understand, it's not that the tree had some chemical in it and that it would affect your body and you will die. It's not that the fruit had some poison in it, and when you eat of that fruit, you will die. No. The issue there is the word of God. What is man going to do with the word that God had spoken? God said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you will surely die." What is man going to do with the word that God has spoken? Is man going to honor the word? Is man going to obey the word? Is man going to live by the word of God? See, if man had to obey the word, if man had to live by the word and say no, God told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's obey God. Let's honor God. Let's live by the word of God. There would have been tremendous life flowing in and through man. That is the way to receive the life of God. Every day, walking in obedience to what the word says. Let's come to chapter 3. Can someone read from verses 1 to 4?
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die."
See, we need to understand that the devil is very crafty. See, he had only one intention. He wanted to deceive man. So here, but verse 3, "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." God said, "You will die," and the devil said, "You will not die." The devil wanted to deceive man. And he put the injection right there. He said, "Surely you will not die." See, in spite of all the blessings that man had received from God, in spite of everything that God had done for man, man made a decision to choose the devil's word over God's word. He took the devil's word, put it in his mouth, and he spoke. And what happened? God's word was out of his life and out of his mind. And the devil's word took place, took root in his life. And as God said, that day, spiritual death came into man, and slowly physical death came into man. What I'm trying to say is, it is so important that we speak God's word, speak what God has said. Amen. May God bless you with these words.